Okay, guys, everybody's mic's on. Monday, July 19th, Smyrna Town Council meeting is now called to order. Please rise for a pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you.
Councilwoman Brown.
Here.
Councilwoman White.
Here.
Councilman Novotny.
Here.
Mayor Stombo.
Here.
Councilman Rayner.
Here.
Councilman Riddle.
Here.
Councilman DeFeo.
Here.
Present and accounted for. Are there any additions or deletions to the published agenda?
Madam Mayor, number item 8A was
carried forward from the last agenda. I don't know that we're prepared to discuss that tonight. Did you want to just table it? I ask that we table 8A.
Or move it to the next meeting, yeah.
Right, thank you.
And Madam Mayor, item 8B, that was put on the agenda in anticipation of Finance Committee reviewing the pension options, and that has not happened as yet, so that needs to be stricken till the next meeting.
Tabled until the next meeting. Okay.
Since the Finance Committee won't meet until August 11th, that really needs to be moved to August 16th council meeting.
Okay.
Are there any other additions or deletions to the agenda? Is there a motion to accept?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Motion.
Made the motion. Rainer, thank you.
And the minutes, I believe there were some minutes that were emailed to us, weren't there?
Yeah, you do not have the minutes of the last two regular meetings. You will get them. The first of the week, we're running a little bit behind. You did get minutes of the executive session, I believe, emailed to you from Mr. J. Well, via Mr. J. Work. I'm not sure whether I sent them or he sent them, but
no, I sent them. I sent them directly to each council member. And they're the executive session minutes of June the 21st.
So you should act on them if you want to accept them.
Okay, is council prepared to? We don't have to go in the executive session first, do we?
Unless somebody has any changes. I know I didn't get any. The only responses I got back said they were fine. Nobody contacted me with any corrections. So,
okay. So everybody, you sent to all the council members?
Sent to all the council members.
Okay.
And only to the council members.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the minutes from the executive session from the last council meeting?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Reports, bills, and financial statements. Mr. Ho.
You were sending in, I guess, in your packet or last Friday, the current bank balances report. We have nothing else to present tonight.
Thank you. Myself, we received a letter from the mayor of over in London, the town, the band that was here for the 4th of July, that marched in the 4th of July parade. He sent us a letter of appreciation and thanked us for welcoming his young people to our town. Mr. Jaywork, do you have anything?
Nothing to report, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Chief Baldwin?
Just a couple quick things, Mayor. One thing I wanted to thank the members of council who were able to, and Mr. Hug, and the department heads who were able to attend our going away luncheon for PFC Benton. He's been deployed to Afghanistan. We appreciate your presence there. On another note, it's my understanding that at the last council meeting, during the public comment section, an individual was using expletives and got maybe a little bit, I'm not sure the word I want to use, so be careful. I just want to make it clear that the mayor is the presiding officer during a town council meeting, and the mayor decides what she will and will not tolerate from the audience, whether it's general deportment or whether it's someone who is speaking to council. Now, as I understand it, various members of council can certainly ask you to do something about an issue or whatever. Short of the mayor taking some action, as a police department, we won't throw people out of public meeting. I don't think that's our position to do that. It's not something we should be engaged in. Now, if myself or another officer who is in attendance believes that someone is being menaced or that there might be an act of violence, if things are allowed to go, we might in fact take some action, but only in those kinds of cases. So I just want to make sure, particularly everybody on council is aware that we take our basically take our marching orders from the mayor during a public council meeting.
I'd like to make it clear that I wasn't at the last council meeting. I was excused.
I'll take the blame.
I'm not asking anybody to take the blame. I just want to make it clear that.
Okay.
It's been a little over 3 years now, and I've been very happy with the way that you've handled things. In the 3.5 years, I think there's only been one or two incidences where I've had to ask for your help. And you did wait for me to ask for your help, but when I asked for it, you did respond. And I've been very pleased at the way you've handled the situations. Mr. Hogg?
Thank you. You have my report in your packet. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. I put two things on the table tonight that I'd like to call your attention to. The first is an email that I received from Jess Manning at the folks who put together the triathlon event that took place this past Saturday morning at Lake Como. And I want to thank the Public Works Department and particularly the Police Department, who has Captain Bordley volunteered or both, but the triathlon was an outstanding success. As you can see from the email, the participants and their friends really enjoyed being in Smyrna. They had many of them stayed the night, many of them stayed after the triathlon to have something to eat and what have you. Had a lot of support from local merchants. This is a really nice event, and it's one that requires a fair amount of coordination, but the group at Bricks Motorsport or Bricks All Sport are multi-sport are an extremely well-organized group of folks, and they've been a pleasure to work with. And so I just wanted to make sure that council knew that we had another successful event at the lake, and a lot of good vibes. A lot of people got reintroduced to Smyrna, and so this is one of those things that doesn't cost us much, except for a couple of hours of time that somebody's already working anyhow to take down a piece of fence or, you know, direct some traffic. But it really does bring people to the town and helps our local business. So I wanted to make sure I shared that. The other thing is I also gave you, the mayor's the only one who got the one in color. It's the only one that you can see the actual picture on. But on Tuesday, July 27th at 5:30, there's a ribbon cutting or groundbreaking for a property at 24 Drexel Court. This is a joint venture of the Central Delaware Habitat for Humanity, the Diamond State Community Land Trust, Kent County Levy Court, and we're actually working with them to make sure that this all happens. It's a slightly different version of the normal habitat project, in that this is a an already existing house in which the land trust will own the land, and the folks buying the house will buy the house under a long-term sort of joint ownership, and invest a lot of their own sweat equity into renovating this house. So it's a really interesting concept. It's the first one in Smyrna, and I think only the second or third one in downstate Delaware. So if anyone can be there on Tuesday the 27th at 5:30, I would certainly invite you to, you know, to come out. And I think that I'm looking at, well, you're going to have a presentation tonight from DMAC, which was already in my manager's report. So I think that's all that I have to report, unless you have questions.
I wasn't sure if you were going to cover it, but did you want to mention about Tuesday at Belmont Hall?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there is a, and you know what? I don't have the 10 o'clock Tuesday at Belmont Hall is the official signing of the agreement between the Friends of Belmont Hall and the Delaware Division of Historic and Cultural Affairs for the, I guess, the joint venture that involves Belmont Hall and bringing that back into active use. So, if anybody can attend, wants to attend, that will be a nice experience as well. I'm sorry, I forgot that one.
Okay. I'd just like to reiterate on a little of what you said about the people coming into town and actually staying over. With the band coming in from Britain, they stayed at the Best Western. And the people at the shopping center said that they were patronized a good bit, especially the dollar store. The kids found that a real good place to go to. So, you know, bringing tourism to our town, bringing people into our town, helps a lot of businesses. So we're business development committee's looking, you know, we have been looking for a while, but it's very, very important that we try to bring people into the town, especially groups like this, because it helps bring revenue and it helps our businesses. Committees, is there any reports for committees?
Mr. Rayner, I distributed your minutes tonight because they didn't make it in time for the Carol being sick to get in.
That's fine. I appreciate that. And I miss Carol.
We do, too. Hope she will be back soon.
My typing wasn't that great in there, I guess.
Charter Review Committee tomorrow night at 5:30.
Madam Mayor, you and the committee have the notes from the Utility Committee that met on July the 7th. And I'm not going to really get into too much about what was discussed, because most of those topics take up most of item 9, 9A, B. So we'll be getting into all those later on in the evening.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to report on? Okay. Any other reports? In this portion of the meeting, we open to visitors. We ask you to step to the microphone and give your name and address. It is recorded. You have 3 minutes to address council. Council may not be able to answer a question that you might have tonight. We may refer it to a committee, or we may refer it to a staff member. We do have a presentation by DMAC. I think we're going to do that first.
If we could, I'd like to do that first and ask the council's indulgence. We'll go over the three-minute rule, if that's okay.
Anytime you have a special presentation, we usually put that on the agenda separately, and then that doesn't confine you to the 3 minutes.
I'd like to introduce Patrick McCullough, who is the president and CEO of DMAC, and somewhere back there, and Kimberly Schlichting, who is the vice president for administration, many of you know from her years here with the town. And Patrick, you're on.
Thank
sir.
You. Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of City Council. It's always a pleasure to join you, and thank you very much for the opportunity to make this presentation to you. As David said, Kimberly Slistine and my staff is also with us tonight. She's kind of the unsung hero who takes care of the green energy programs on behalf of the 9 municipal utilities across the state. She makes sure all those plethora of rules and regulations, which are almost different for every municipality, are adhered to, and we try to take care of the citizens who have those grants for solar energy or whatever else they might be doing. So with that, I'll get into my presentation. I'm sorry, I will violate the three-minute rule, but I will be as brief as possible given the necessity to brief you on this project.
That's good. There it comes.
Good job, James.
Tonight I'm here to brief you on the proposed expansion of the Warren F. Beasley Power Station located right here in the town of Smyrna, Delaware, not in the business park, around 300. The plan is currently configured has been in operation for over 10 years. And the town of Smyrna and six other municipalities across the state originally passed the resolutions for power sales agreements in 2001 to help DMAC develop and finance the first unit. We're now coming back. Okay, so we get on the recorder. Okay. No, I think I'm fine. And now, because of various reasons, we are back before you again 10 years later asking for approval to develop the second unit at the Warren Beasley Power Station. Just briefly, you all know who DMAC is, but we are a joint action agency and a municipal electric company. In 1979, we were created by seven municipal electric utilities, one of those being the town of Smyrna, as a not-for-profit agency. We are wholly owned by Smyrna and those other six municipalities, and the assets and services we provide are 100% for the benefit of the owning utilities. The responsibility for electric supply, capital financing, and services that we provide, that is in our charter. And again, all those services and all the assets we develop are solely for the benefit of our owners, the municipal electric utilities. And as you know, we are a generation owner. The original charter members of DMAC are the six before you, Clayton and Middletown, Milford, Newcastle, Newark, Seaford, and, of course, Smyrna. We have two associate non-owning members, the city of Dover and the city of Lewis, who we provide a number of services to, including green energy management, but they are not full requirements owning members of the company. The benefits that we provide to our owners, collective joint purchasing. We manage over $100 million a year in power supply purchases on behalf of our seven full requirements members. We provide intelligence into the industry and the market, and we provide the expertise necessary to successfully operate an electric utility in today's environment. We also provide legislative representation both in Washington and here in the state of Delaware on all issues relating to electric utilities. We also, as a primary goal, provide system reliability, especially here in the town of Smyrna. The town council was very wise a few years ago to make a slight additional investment to interconnect our generation to your main substation. What that means is even if the transmission grid drops, the lights will stay on in Smyrna, even if the rest of the state happens to be black. We did that twice this year, by the way. Early in May, the transmission system had to have some critical maintenance done on it, and there were a couple of days where the transmission system was out. And you may have noticed the lights never blinked. That is because for, I think it was about 2.5-3 hours each day for a couple of days that week, we brought our generator up and kept the lights on in the town of Smyrna, even though you were no longer connected to the electric grid. And that's a tremendous benefit, and Smyrna is lucky to have that. The other things we do is we provide joint efficiency in the delivery of services. Rather than having seven or nine members do seven or nine things simultaneously, DMAC will do it on behalf of all seven or nine members. The Green Energy Program is a prime example of that. When we brought those up in 2009, as required by state law, nobody had to add any staff because DMAC did it. And in today's economic and budget times, I'm sure you'll appreciate the value of doing it that way. We also provide inventory management software, home energy audit on the web. Each of the municipalities has a spot on their website that allows their residents to go in and use that software to do a home audit of the energy usage. DMAC maintains and supplies that software in the background. We also provide training and support services. We have a training facility over at our office, and we will from time to time, as the industry requires, invite our members to send their critical people in, and we'll bring them up to speed on what the new regulations might be or new things that are happening in the industry. All right, just wanted to briefly point out the renewable generation projects we have entered into. You may have heard of the Dover Sun Park, a 10-megawatt solar project. We own 15% of that project on behalf of our members. Blue Water Wind, you've heard of the offshore wind project. We were the first utility in the nation to sign a contract for offshore wind power. And we're very hopeful that that project will get built, probably not in 2014, but somewhere along the way. We also have administered the renewable grant program that's caused 375 kilowatts of new solar voltaic to be installed in the various service territories, more than $1.5 million paid in grants to customers. And we have more projects under development. To speak to the project I'm before you tonight for, the expansion of the existing Beasley Power Station, we propose to add a second turbine generator to the site, naturally gas-fired, with ultra-low sulfur oil backup. Nominal output will be 45 to 55 megawatts. It will essentially double the capacity of the facility. It's very black start reliable and very environmentally responsible. Matter of fact, it's our position that it's the cleanest carbon-based generator in the state of Delaware. The estimated project cost will be between $35 and $38 million. This is what the project looks like today, and you can see the little blank footprint there. That's where the second unit will go in. We already pre-designed the site for that second unit. We're evaluating two technologies, just briefly. The second unit, if we choose the GELM6000, that exactly matches the technology in the first unit. 45 megawatts of additional capacity, $35 million, about $777 kW installed cost. The second technology we're evaluating is a Rolls-Royce Trent combustion turbine. Very similar technology to the GE, but it has higher output, 55 megawatts. And even though it's $38 million, it's a lower installed kW cost. And in today's environment, capacity, every bit of capacity you can get on the Delmarva Peninsula is gold. And so we're looking very hard at that technology. The project participants, as are listed here, you can see Smyrna is 9.69% of the total project. Newark is still the biggest one at 35%, but other systems have grown rapidly. They back in 2001, they were 47% of the group. So. The impact on total power supply cost is why we're here tonight. Debt service costs for this project will increase about $2.50 a megawatt hour. However, the addition of this capacity on the peninsula will allow us to reduce the cost of capacity by $3 a megawatt hour. So there's a net annual savings of about $550,000 a year. Smyrna's share of that will be about $53,000. This is the conservative minimum estimate of the economics of the project. Why do we need the second unit? As I said, growing demand in Delaware. One of the things we are seeking to eliminate is the current surcharge that Delaware ratepayers have to pay for capacity because we have inadequate transmission coming onto the peninsula and not enough domestic generation. We are charged by PJM a higher capacity rate than anybody else in the eastern part of the United States. And that makes our rates about 10% higher than they ought to be. And we're looking to cut that 10% out of the equation. The bottom line here is that we're looking to proactively deal with the costs of electric supply on the Delmarva Peninsula while still being very economically and environmentally responsible. We're going to meet the growing demands for electricity. We're going to reduce the capacity surcharge. And we're going to enable and support the development of additional renewable energy on the Delmarva Peninsula. The problem with renewable energy is it's interruptible. It is not consistent. You can't just turn it on and off. So you have to have dependable generation to back it up. So if the wind stops blowing or the sun stops shining, we have replacement energy and nobody's lights blink. I just want to briefly summarize the resolution we have before you tonight. We have a purchase power agreement that we are asking all seven of the participants to enter into. And they are identical purchase power agreements except for the percentage of responsibility. Once the members approve these purchase power agreements, DMAC will be able to go out and make financial commitment on the project and begin construction. It's our intent to have the project construction begin in 2011 and have the new facility in service by June 1, 2012. The resolution before you tonight is for Smyrna, as a participant in the new project, to authorize the execution of the power sales contract. This contract is substantially the same as the one approved by the town of Smyrna in May 2001. Over the past 2 years, Smyrna's representatives have reviewed at least three detailed engineering studies of the economics of this project. The Town Utility Committee has recently reviewed the project and recommended to the Town Council its approval. To enable DMAC to finance the project, the seven participants must authorize the execution of identical take-or-pay contracts for their proportionate shares of the project. Let me make very clear that the project participants are obligated to pay the costs of the project irrespective of whether any economic products are ultimately produced by the project. It is a take-or-pay contract. That being said, the participants approved exactly the same language in 2001, and the project has produced positive revenues to Smyrna and the other participants over the past 10 years. Again, Smyrna's share is 9.69%. The council is authorizing its agents to execute this contract, but the actual execution will be simultaneous among the participants and only if the project is deemed economic and necessary by the DMAC Board of Directors. As a part of this resolution, the participants are authorizing the refunding of the 2001 bonds if such refunding will result in net savings to the members. As you may well know, the financial markets were offering very attractive interest rates, much better than we had in 2001. So if it is economic and adds value, we will refund the original bonds as a part of the new financing. With that, that's my presentation, and I would be happy to answer any questions. With that, thank you very much.
Oh, no, and, I'm,
oh,
well,
I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm thinking about it a minute.
Okay.
Because I guess I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
So we're responsible for 9.something%. How much is that the town is responsible for?
It'll be a little bit less than 10 megawatts of the – well, pardon me, I'm wrong. A little less than 6 megawatts of the project, 9.69% of the total project. The town of Smyrna will also get 9.69% of the value in the project, the capacity and energy created by the new generation.
I'm looking to where's the money coming from? Are we borrowing money? Who's paying for it? And how is this going to benefit the residents?
Okay.
Financially.
The town is committing to 9.69% of the cost of the project. All seven participants have to make that commitment so that DMAC can go to the financing markets and issue bonds. DMAC will issue the bonds. DMAC will be the holder of the debt. No debt appears on the books of Town of Smyrna or any of the other participants. The cost of this project gets rolled into the wholesale cost of power supply that DMAC provides to each one of the communities. As I showed earlier, we expect the $2.50 a megawatt hour cost of this project to be more than recovered in the $3 a megawatt hour savings that we will derive by reducing capacity costs to our members. Capacity cost has been the single largest growing expense of providing electric supply in the past 5 years. And the trend is nothing but up. So if we do not take a proactive action here to fix our cost of capacity, our costs are just going to start to escalate. So this project provides us a hedge against those ever-increasing capacity costs. And as we show here in this simple example, we will actually be lowering the cost of power supply by $550,000 a year to our members.
If I could try to jump in there a little bit. The town of Smyrna is not issuing any bonds or debt. All you're doing is entering into a contract that says that you are going to purchase power from DMEC, and the stream of revenue from our purchasing electricity from DMEC, along with the stream of revenue from all the other towns, is being pledged to pay that.
Correct.
Now, as Pat said, this is a take-or-pay contract. If for some reason this facility never gets off the ground and never generates any electricity, that is still going to be passed into the rates. The cost of power, the $38 million, the cost to pay that debt service is going to get put into the rates of all the DMEC members, and they're going to have to pay that.
You mentioned all nine participants. What if you don't get all nine?
We actually expect seven of the nine participants to enter into these contracts. Lewis and Dover are considering participation, but we expect the seven members who participated in unit number one are all going to participate in unit number two. They have all made commitments at the DMAC board meeting to move forward with the project, subject to council approval. And I am going around to each one of the town councils over the past couple of weeks, basically giving the same presentation and asking for them to approve the resolution that will allow us to move forward with the project. Again, let me repeat, while we're asking the town council tonight to approve this resolution authorizing your agents to execute the contract, it is not a total done deal yet. We will hold off until we are absolutely positive about the final economic benefits and necessity for the project. And when we arrive at that, all of the participants will simultaneously execute the power sales agreements. Right up in that point, the DMAC Board of Directors can still decide to walk away from the project at minimal cost. Once we make the financing commitment, that is when we will dedicate significant amounts of capital to the project and start construction. That's essentially the point of no return.
Is there any advantage for Dover and Lewis not to be a full participant?
The advantage is that if Dover and Lewis do not choose to participate, each one of the seven members gets a proportionately larger share of the benefits of the project. And let me make very clear, unit number one has been returning substantial revenues back to the members in excess of the cost of the project. So there is really an economic benefit to being a participant in these projects. And if we spread it across a larger number of participants, each person loses some share of that revenue.
Excuse me, you refer to this as a take or pay. What would the risk be? What would, as Mr. Jaywork said, what would cause this not to get off the ground?
Okay, good question. If there is a regulatory development, let's say DENREC suddenly came out tomorrow and decided that no generation should ever be built in Delaware ever again, that would be a project stopper. If the transmission system was unable to accommodate the injection of new generation without substantial cost of upgrades, that would be a showstopper. The way we develop these projects is we determine those critical path items in advance of final capital commitment so that we have a minimum amount of investment that is done. And if something like that would develop, causing us to walk away from the project, we've minimized the amount of money that we've sunk in. Not until we are very sure of those critical path items will we commit the substantial capital to the project.
As you had said to us at the Utility Committee meeting last week, that the existing transmission capacity within the town, there's nothing that needs to be added on.
It's our belief that there's nothing in the direct connection that we have already. That's good as gold, ready to go. We are waiting for PJM to finish their greater transmission area studies to tell us what the additional cost might be to incrementally improve some of the transmission. We don't believe any of those costs will be substantial.
When you talked about the shares, and you were talking about the seven being involved in the total 30, but then you gave these percentages.
Yes.
So, in other words, like Newark would have to put up a little over 13 million, and we would be responsible for about 3.6 million.
Yes, that's correct.
Right.
Right.
Now, is this one of the situations, like I know last year or the year before, where the town was required to put up money, and I suggested the letters of credit?
Yes.
Does that?
It's an entirely different subject. The letters of credit were a financing obligation as a part of some of the power supply contracts we had with other suppliers. Wasn't related to generation in any way.
Right, but is this going to be same type thing, or is this actual, we would have to put up the money?
No, you won't have to put up the money in advance at all. We will issue bonds to finance, to raise the capital money to finance the project. Then going forward, as a part of your normal power supply cost, the monthly power supply bill that the town pays to DMAC, the cost of this project will be included in there. As I said, the $2.50 a megawatt hour would become part of your ongoing costs. We expect an offset of $3 a megawatt hour in your cost. So what's actually going to happen is that your power bill would go down.
How long is this going to take from, like, start to finish to it gets to that point?
We expect to start paying for itself as soon as it goes into operation, which would
how
be June 2012.
2012.
Yes. And we will structure the financing such that there will be very little cost to the members prior to that date.
Okay. So we won't see that $2.50 per megawatt hour as part of the purchase price until after that new unit goes online.
That's correct. And we're structuring the financing such that the actual costs don't come to the participants until June 1, 2012 also. So it'll match up.
Question on the generators, the Rolls-Royce and the GE, are these parts interchangeable or they say similar technology? Can you use a part off of one and put it on the other?
Great question. You know a little bit about engineering, don't you? No, they will not be interchangeable parts. The two technologies do have different parts, and that's one of the pieces of the decision process that we're going through right now. Is the advantage, the lower installed kW cost of the Rolls-Royce, worth that additional complication that we have to have another set of spare parts on hand and different technicals for that new unit?
Do the units have different reliability records?
We've been going through that also. We visited one of our brother public power systems up in Braintree, Massachusetts, that installed two of these Rolls-Royce units. And Dan Corrigan of my staff went up there and visited with them. And they have had the service, the units in service for about a year. They appear to be extremely pleased with them. They've operated as they expected. So we don't anticipate any higher degree of unreliability from the Rolls-Royce than the GE. We know the GE technology very well, and it's very reliable. But again, if we can get an incremental capacity value out of that for not much more money, it's very attractive.
Two questions. You mentioned a surcharge. Is that the PPAC? No, that's not going away?
No. This has nothing to do with the
purchase. I didn't know if that was the surcharge.
Okay. Now, we don't set your retail rates. We are on the wholesale side of it, and your PPCA is part of your retail rates.
Is there a deadline for this agreement? Is there a reason that we have to vote on this agreement tonight?
We are asking all the members to be substantially complete and approve these resolutions so that we can go forward at the appropriate time to the financing markets and make finance commitment on the project so we can actually have it in service by June 1, 2012.
How many municipalities have you been to?
This is my fifth this month.
More to go?
A couple more visits to make. A couple of members probably will not need me to come and make the presentation. They've already made their commitment. But we expect to have, by mid-August, everybody committed.
So if somebody doesn't commit, does our cost go up?
If somebody doesn't commit,
back out?
The DMACC board will go back and take a look at what that does to the entire project. I will tell you that we have some members who would be very happy to have somebody drop out, because then that means they get a larger share of the project and a larger share of the revenues from the project.
Those are responsible for.
They're also responsible for their proportionate share. If they take another 5% of the project or 10% of the project, they're responsible for those costs. But as I said, we're relatively certain that this will be a net revenue project.
I know it's probably not your responsibility, but since you're doing this project and you seem to have companies that can generate or put together information, has any studies been done to see what could the cost be to the citizens of the town? I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah. What we're saying right here in the presentation is that we have studied this very critically, looked at all the costs, looked at all the revenues, looked at all the benefits, looked at all the savings. And we are very certain that this project being installed will result in a net decrease in the wholesale power costs to our members.
At a certain point.
Well,
once it's online.
First day.
Once it's online.
June 1, 2012.
To get to that point, the thing that I'm concerned about, I understand what you're saying, and I'm saying, you know, that technically this is a good thing. But I want to know what is going to happen to our citizens to get to that point. We're in a time of crisis, of economic downfall. I need to know, before I can vote on this, I need to know what kind of impact this could or would have on our citizens.
Madam Mayor, it's a very, very important and appropriate question. We had originally proposed to have this in service by June 1, 2011. But when we looked at the cash flow and the economics, we saw that there was greater advantage in bringing the project online 1 year later, June 1, 2012. That allowed us to make the impact to our members on the wholesale power side to be zero. If we had brought it on in 2011, there may have been some out-of-pocket costs before we actually started seeing revenues come in. And we understand the economic situation as well as anybody. And we did not want to do anything, intentionally or unintentionally, to cause prices of power supply in our communities to go up. So we decided to delay the commercial operation date of the project to June 1, 2012, to be sure that we didn't impose costs upon our members before the revenues were there to offset it. Again, we expect this to ultimately reduce the cost of wholesale power to our member communities, which they can thereby pass on to their customers as a rate reduction.
Right, at a time. I just want to make sure it's not going to impact them before that time gets here.
That's what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, there's no bill to pay before the benefit shows in.
Okay, let me ask you this. That debt service cost increase of $2.50, is that what, I don't know how I want to say this, is that what the cost would be until you get to the point that the revenue is?
No. The $2.50 cost increase will come in simultaneously with the $3 cost decrease.
Okay.
Again,
so
bringing a net 50 cents. Well, there's no guarantees in life because the world changes and I don't control the universe. But if
you did.
If I did,
okay.
Then
if
we'd be saving $5
a
megawatt.
Should be able to change too.
Pardon me?
If your end changes, then our end should be able to change too.
You know, if you can guarantee me that the federal government won't do anything surprising between now and then I have a lot of confidence in this project. But I do lay awake at night worrying about what the federal government's going to do.
And you can't get any kind of a commitment from them before? I know. Stupid question.
Question.
No,
for
I
you.
Can't.
Question for you. On the capacity cost decrease there, you have two units you're looking at here, and there's about a 10-megawatt difference between the two of them.
Yes.
How does that affect the capacity cost decrease?
We have structured this assuming we would build the smaller of the two units.
So if you end up going with the Rolls-Royce, that number will be even greater then.
The delta between these two numbers will be larger and the savings will be greater.
And the other question I want to ask, because you said you can't look into the future, and I thought I would ask you that anyway, is there anywhere else on the peninsula right now that you're aware of where anyone is entertaining the construction of power generation?
Yes. Without being at liberty to go into a lot of detail, the city of Dover is currently developing a new generation project for the exact same reasons that we are pursuing a generation project.
We don't think, and from what I'm hearing you say, I'm sure it's not going to occur, there will not be an abundance or an excess of energy on this peninsula.
No, we're going quite the opposite direction. You may have heard recently that the Indian River units down in the south are closing all but one unit. That's a lot of generating capacity going away at a time when the Delmarva Peninsula is already short of generating capacity. These units and the additional capacity are absolutely necessary. The DMAC unit, we hope the Dover unit comes along too, and we think more will be necessary on top of that.
And so the people will understand, and if I'm wrong, if I've been given wrong information, I need to be corrected. But my understanding at this point in time is part of the reason that the electricity rates to our area are high is because there's such a lack of most of ours comes from the west, I believe.
Yeah, the west and the north.
And
yes.
For quite a distance.
Yes.
That there isn't anything really close to us, so our costs are so high because we have to has to come such a distance to get to us.
You've got it exactly right. There is such a great concentration of population here in the east that the demand for electricity is huge. However, there is a definite shortage of generation capacity in the east. All of it is in the Midwest, and it has to be brought across the transmission lines to us. The transmission lines are 30 years old and incapable of carrying the amount of electricity that is demanded today. So we really need more local generation to make sure that we have high reliability and lower costs. That's where we're going with this project. Just to go back to the federal government for a minute, I was making fun of it, but the truth of the matter is Congress is seriously considering CO2 legislation to tax carbon dioxide, so we all have to stop breathing. But if they do, it will affect this project. It will impose additional costs on this project. However, it will also impose the same cost on every generator in the country. So even the power we buy from other generators, which is about 80% of our power, will also increase in cost. It's one of those all boats rise on the tide thing. Everybody will be equally impacted. So when we considered the CO2 issue in determining whether or not to do this project, it really didn't change the economics, because while it adds costs on one side of the equation, it also adds costs on the other side. So it pretty much balances out.
Didn't you say earlier, though, that the environmental impact of this new project is far less than some of these other plants, maybe in the Midwest, so our effect would be minimal?
That's correct. The carbon taxes, as people call it, will be larger on coal-fired power plants and older technology power plants. These newer technologies, like our Beasley station, very low emission. And so our costs for generating a megawatt are going to be lower than the cost for a coal plant to generate a megawatt or the cost for an older gas-fired plant to generate a megawatt.
Have Dover and Lewis been invited into this project?
They have, and the DMAC Board of Directors on a number of occasions has asked those people whether or not they'd like to participate. No commitments has been made to date. We'll be having a meeting again on Wednesday where they will have another opportunity to indicate their interest.
So why would we ask them if it's going to decrease our portion?
Very good question. The DMAC group is kind of an all-for-one, one-for-all group. The intent is to benefit all the public power customers on the Delmarva Peninsula. It may very well be that if Dover and Lewis came forward and said, well, we'd like to participate, we might say, well, this project can't accommodate you too much, but the next project. You know, we will build as much as is necessary to benefit our members. And so it is possible that we could have a new project later on that would add additional capacity. But it's a very good question. In the all-for-one, one-for-all thing, if you share it across the bigger group, your risk is spread, but also your benefit goes down too.
Pat, how many directors are on the DMAC?
We have nine. We have one for each one of the municipal members. There's nine.
Those being the two associate members, the other two, Dover and Lewis also have a member on the board?
Yes, they have representation on the board.
I see in this resolution that Mr. Hugg is being confirmed as the director from the town of Smyrna.
Right.
I just want you all to be aware of that. I mean, it's basically, DMAC is us, so to speak. It's all the towns that sell electricity. And the other question, this is a peaking generator.
It is.
So this thing is not going to be running 24/7. Maybe
5 to 10% of the hours of the year. That being said, we've run 10 hours a day every day the month of July. But that's what happens. In the peak months of the year, where demand for electricity is the highest, that's when our unit comes on to assure reliability. So in the winter peak months and the summer peak months, that's where we do most of our operations. In the rest of the months of the year, very few operations.
So it's just there if you need it.
Exactly. That's the name of reliability. It's there when you need it.
I know we have one gentleman that raised his hand in the audience. Does council have any more questions?
I think the city councilman have asked and the questions that need to be asked.
Very good.
I don't have any questions.
Pat, I have one question. I don't want to muck up your project this evening. Would it muck things up too bad for you if the council were to pass this resolution tonight, but to put a caveat in it or just in the minutes that their approval was conditional upon all seven other members approving it?
I could not put that into the actual resolution itself, but I have no problem that going on the record of the council's minutes. And we will take that as advisement from one of our owners as to how we should proceed. I have no problem doing that.
What I'm suggesting is if you should choose to vote on this tonight, instead of having this being a done deal, you could say, we approve this. When you get the other six signatures, then it's done.
And you could take that as direction to your representative on the DMAC board, too, that he's not to act and the mayor is not to act, because I think you'd ultimately sign the contract, Mayor, until all the other six are committed. As I said during the presentation, it's our intent, after we have all of our members pass the resolution, that the actual contracts will be executed simultaneously by all seven. It's an all-for-one, one-for-all deal.
So in other words, it would fail if we only got six members. So what's the downside of only having six members?
The resolution would still be in force, and what would happen is DMAC would come back to each one of the town councils and say, okay, we've had a change. It's now six or five, and here are the new numbers. And we would then ask for reconsideration of whether to proceed or not to proceed. We're a very open book. Remember, you own us. Anything you want to know about us, we're going to tell you. And so if this changed from seven to six or whatever, we would stop. The DMAC board would direct me to come back to all the councils and start the discussion again.
All right, just one more time. To get the money to do this, you're going to get ballots.
That's correct. The resolution you're passing tonight commits the town of Smyrna to sign the contract if the DMAC Board of Directors decides to move forward with the project. All seven of the participants, maybe eight, maybe nine, if Lewis and Dover decide to join, will simultaneously execute the contracts only if and when the DMAC Board of Directors, your representative and a representative from every one of the other towns, deems it appropriate to move forward with the project. If something changes substantially, the DMAC board will vote not to proceed with the project, and we would not spend any more money on the deal.
So we're just signing to move forward, and then when everybody, whomever, agrees, there's going to be a signing of all those people at one time, and that's when you're really committed.
And that will be the actual commitment to the project. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Is it possible, we just received this tonight. Prior to that, we just received a copy of the resolution. So now I have actually much more information than what I had originally. To put this to the next council meeting? Because there's just a lot more information that Pat provided tonight that wasn't in the resolution. That's why I asked how many were already that you had to still go meet with.
Yeah, what's your time period to meet with the other two?
Again, we were trying to get everybody to commit by mid-August.
So we meet August 2nd. I mean, does anybody have...
I think if council felt that they wanted or needed the other 2 weeks, that you know, as your board member, we would certainly recognize and address that concern. I mean, we're not going to have all seven of or nine of them on board in the next 2 weeks. Anyhow, correct? I mean, that's it. We have a couple who have already acted.
Yeah. All are simultaneously moving forward on parallel paths.
I just think that this is a big project that I wasn't involved in the first one. And, again, we have more information now. And, personally, I would just rather have more time to terrorize Dave with stuff in here. So, I mean, somebody can make a motion if they want to vote on it tonight.
So our first meeting in August, you would actually have, you still wouldn't have your meetings with the other two completed.
It could be that they're all substantially done by then. But it is the town council's decision how they want to proceed.
Our next meeting is August 2nd, so that's before mid-August.
I think when you get to item 9A and or 9A 1 and 2, that's really the point at which you can decide whether you want to proceed. The board of directors has instructed Pat as our employee to go out and meet with all of the councils and essentially get this done. We've debated the merits and risks of building a second unit for quite some time. And just to remind you, when Beasley 1 was built, it was designed with the idea that it would house a second unit. Hence, it's two-thirds of its footprint is there and ready to plug in, and the missing piece is adding this additional generator. The other sort of observation is just, you know, that this capacity market is really strange, but you're basically getting paid to have something sit there that may never get used. On the assumption that one day you might get the phone call that says flick the switch and you need to be ready to do so. And so I find it a very convoluted industry, but the fact that we can generate revenues by having capacity available when it's needed, not only for our own purposes but for the region, is a tremendous asset, and one in this market particularly, where there's just, you know, as Pat said, three of the units in Indian River are being shut down. It kind of scares me that, you know, we're increasingly energy dependent on a peninsula that's getting less and that has less and less base generation. It's not a comfortable position to be in, and this is just a ride.
Taking all that into consideration, wouldn't this increase the use? Wouldn't it be used? To get to those revenue figures and everything, I mean, it's not going to just sit there.
Yeah. Let me give you just a 15-second lesson on the way electric power supply is priced in our country. There are two components primarily to electric supply: capacity, which is the ability to create a kilowatt of energy, and energy, which is the actual creation of that energy. As you know, the demand for electricity goes up and down every hour of the day, and you have peaks and valleys. The valleys are easy. The middle of the ground is easy. We have plenty of generation to meet that. It's when the peak demand comes up, when everybody is demanding that next kilowatt hour, when the reliability of the system starts getting shaky. You have to have this very fast start peaking generation there to meet that demand. Nobody wants their lights to go out. So the capacity value, the ability to generate that kilowatt, is the real value of generation. Even if you only run 5 to 10 hours of the year, like this unit does, every day this month, it's run 10 hours a day to meet demand.
But, I mean, with you saying that these other ones are going to shut down, isn't there going to be more of a demand? I mean, isn't this going to be used more than...
We anticipate that it really will be. It's designed for 5 to 10 percent of the hours of the year, maybe 800, 900 hours a year. We know other parts of the country that are in tight capacity squeezes like we are. They have units just like this running 50% of the hours of the year. And this unit can do that if it needs to. But really the value is in the capacity. And capacity has gone up 1,800% in price in the past 5 years. And it's still going that way. That's why we need this unit to fix our cost of capacity rather than pay that ever-increasing price. When the price of capacity goes up, this thing earns that price of capacity. So we have an offset to our expense. And that's what we're trying to do, fix our costs, make sure the reliability of electric service stays good, and then we can offer our customers lower costs going forward. And it is critically reliable, and it's critically important for the Delmarva Peninsula to have this generation. We are deficit in transmission capacity, and we're deficit in generation. But the demand for electricity continues to increase. We've got to react to that.
Well, I have to say, too, I know with the snowstorms, I was stuck at home, and I'm sitting here watching television, and I'm looking at all these areas that people had been without electricity for a week. And truthfully, I sat at home, you know, thinking, when's it going to go out? Every minute I was just waiting for it to go out.
We're very proud to say in the 9 municipal distribution utilities, there were very, very few outages. And I know we had down south in some of the other electric service territories, they were out for weeks.
Yeah.
And I really felt very, very hurt for those people that were sitting in the dark and freezing. But we had a very good reliability record. Very proud of that. No, it's not a good experience, is it?
I was very surprised when he dealt with it. And after filming, right on 13, he did not have power for 2 days.
Yeah, it's very tough. And we try to make sure that doesn't happen. We measure our outages in hours, not days.
And I can remember years here in Smyrna. Number of years ago when everybody threw that switch for the air conditioner and we were out.
Just the last thing now, that this presentation was made before the Utility Committee last week, and the Utility Committee voted unanimously to bring us upstairs to stairs here. They were in favor of the agreement. And a lot of the same questions you're asking here tonight were asked that night as well before we took our vote. But so I understand that some of you are seeing this information for the first time, but some of us have had this for a week and a half now. So
better the second time around.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yes, it is. Yes,
and I certainly understand the concerns of the council members not feeling that they've had enough on-hands time with this. DMAC, who is your representative, we've spent hundreds of hours analyzing things. We've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars doing engineering studies. We are very certain of our information, and we would not bring this project to our members and ask them to commit to it until we had done sufficient due diligent work to be very sure of what our needs are.
Term plans to increase capacity?
There is a transmission project being done by Delmarva PHI, who's their holding company. It's called the MAP project. The intent is to cross the Chesapeake Bay with a transmission line and bring power into the southern part of the Delaware. We are increasingly uncertain that will ever happen. And we cannot afford to wait and hope for it. Because hope gets really expensive if capacity costs keep going up and reliability keeps going down on the Delmarva Peninsula, then we've failed in our duty. And we feel we need to act to maintain reliability and make sure that power supply is as economic as possible for our customers.
I'd like to
like to make an observation, not to you, sir, to the council. The 50-cent decrease, that doesn't necessarily mean that the town, that the citizens of Smyrna will receive a reduction in their electric unless you decide to pass it on as a savings to us.
Exactly.
It's wholesale.
Exactly. That is correct.
But you should hold our feet to the fire.
Are there any other questions?
Well, again, I would ask the council, please, to consider acting on the resolution and authorizing us to move forward on this very critical project for our systems here in Delaware.
Thank you.
Patrick.
Okay, now we get back to the recognition of the visitors. Is there anyone that would like to address council? Please come to the microphone and give your name and address, please.
Good afternoon, council. My name is Henriette Morris. My address is 407 Coldwater Drive in Clayton. I am also a property owner here in Smyrna. I've come before you here today to let you know that a team that has been a part of the Delaware as well as Smyrna area, which is Delaware's Finest Stars, which is who I'm speaking about today, is an AAU basketball team. They traveled to Hampton, Virginia last week. And they won the national championship for Division II in the nation. They went against 72 teams in our nation and won out. And I'm telling you this because there are several things on their agenda, and they're making a name for themselves as well as for our small state. Therefore, I am asking, Mrs. Mayor, if possible, if for the recognition of these young men, if you can give them like a letter of some sort, letting them know that you are recognizing them for their achievements of first staying out of trouble, secondly, for pursuing something so much as they've done as a national championship.
Would you be able to bring them to the council next council meeting?
I can do that. I can definitely do that. Also, I'd also like you to know these gentlemen have also been, they've been invited for an international, a tournament in Hawaii that they will be playing individuals from different countries. It's crucial that we try to get them there because they, here again, our small state is being represented in the national, in the world against other teams from the world. So, and our team has to raise about $15,000 to get these young men there. So we're trying to do so for them in order to get them exposed to what's out there in the world for them.
Well, make sure that we have a phone number so we can follow up with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, or now, it's fine.
Thank you.
What was the name of your team again, please?
Delaware's Finest Stars. Their coach is Larry Bryant. He's in the back. He is also a Delaware.
Mr. Morris, is this part of the organization that you've been doing for the last few years, or is this something different?
No, we actually have some of their basketball players in our program. However, it is something different that I believe these players, they're 12, ages 12 and under is their division that they play in. I believe they've been together for 4 years as well, trying to grow and finally they have blossomed into this champion basketball team. So it's.
I'd like to say that there's been, I know some of the organizations have come to the finance committees over the last years, and there was a time when the town could help, and then we got to a point 2-3 years ago where we had to do away with grants and for nonprofits. but I know yours and yours have been making this on your own, getting the money on your own, and have wonderful programs. Both of you have wonderful programs, and I really, really want to commend both of you for what you've done for our town and given the children the opportunity that you do on the very low budget that you work on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Aside from that, may I speak as well? Mm-hmm. All right. My name is Michael Morris. I'm also it's my wife, Henriette. My address is 407 Coldwater Drive in Clayton, Delaware, and I also do own a property here in Smyrna as well. This weekend, we are having our 2010 YIA Community Day. It is going to be on Saturday, July 24th, beginning at 1 o'clock. And it's an event that we host every year to try to bring the community members together through a sport that obviously our guys and girls love to play. We basically use it as an avenue to try to teach and mentor these young people of our community. What we want to do here. This is pretty simple. We went up and we were invited to play in what is now known as the Smyrna Middletown Basketball Classic. They have a program up there with the Middletown Athletic League. And we went up and we played our best players, our best 13 and under players, and our best 17 and under players here in the town of Smyrna. Went up, played Middletown, and we actually won both games and won the trophies. And what we're asking for is if any members of the council, Mrs. Mayor, if you can make it out, I know it's short notice, but we would like to present the trophies to the town to be displayed here at the town hall. If we would feel honored if you would accept the trophies on the behalf. I'm sorry?
Where is it going to be?
Oh, it's going to be, I'm sorry, at the Smyrna Municipal Park. That beautiful basketball court that you guys have blessed us with. Thank you.
Saturday. You're welcome.
And what time?
We will actually start at about 1 o'clock, but I wouldn't, sometimes it gets a little rough, but anytime between, I'd say, 12 and 6 o'clock, if you guys, if anyone could commit to a certain time in between there, we will try to make sure that we value your time and get you in there and out just to present trophies to you. All right. And once again, the telephone number would be the same. You can reach me there if anyone's interested. We'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address council?
My name is Cindy Coger, and I live at 123 Hamilton Lane in Smyrna. I would first like to comment on the air conditioning in this room. It feels very nice. However, when I've been visiting the library lately, it doesn't feel very nice. Apparently, the air conditioner has been, they've been ordered to turn it down, and the library is covered with fans now, so it's not very comfortable in there. That's just an observation. What I really wanted to talk about was when I left the house in a hurry, I grabbed the wrong papers, so I don't have my dates. I went on the Smyrna website, and I put in a request to have my sewer looked at. I was pleased to see the very next day when I came home that somebody had been to my home and spray-painted the clean-out in my front yard, so I thought somebody had come to look at it. I have emailed again and tried to get a response to what was done, what they found, did they do anything, what happened, with no luck. I had called the town office and asked to speak to somebody. I guess it's with the town works? Like I said, I don't have my papers. Left a message with what I was told was the person I needed to leave a message with. I don't have the name because I grabbed the wrong paper. And still nobody has responded to me, and this has been a couple months. So I'm not sure what do I need to do to get a response.
What's the address?
123 Hamilton Lane.
Okay.
Okay, and that's it.
Man, you need to talk to the sitting back there in the blue shirt. So, mm-hmm. Daryl, okay. Can you make sure that...
Maybe Daryl can call me.
If you can follow up, please.
Okay. I don't think anybody wants to call me, but I'll write it down. And thank you very much. Thanks.
The council's also here for the citizens, so anytime if you have a problem, I don't know what, you know, look into the district that you're in, see who your council representative is for the district, or there's several of us that are at large.
I considered that, but I knew if I came tonight I would get some kind of response.
Okay.
You know, but I just want to know
what
did they find out something?
Okay, well, you said it had been a couple of months or a month, you know, you could have checked with one of us, and but, I mean, you're welcome to come here. You're welcome to come here, but we want to let people know that that's part of what we do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Would anyone else like to address council?
My name is Joe Gaynor. I reside at 555 Cindy Lane here in Smyrna, and I'm here to bring council's attention to the astronomical increases in yard meter water rates. I received my June bill, and I looked at it, and I said, it's got to be a mistake. Last year, it was $55 for 21,000 gallons of water, and this year, it's $155.
They actually addressed that at their last...
Well, I called Mr. Hugg. He was kind enough to say, please come to the utility committee meeting. I did, and the utility committee was kind enough to make a consideration and roll the rates back. But what I'm pleading to council for is an equitable rate that we can live with. And as Mr. Hugg said, he had no, when they first created these increases, they had no idea of the amount of consumption that a sprinkler system uses. Well, on a dry month, a sprinkler system will use 20,000 to 30,000 gallon of water. So that's what we're dealing with. And Mr. Hugg said that the increases were based on DENREC mandate to come up with a water conservation program. All I ask is that I'm willing to spend $55, $65, $75 a month to water my lawn, but I'm certainly not willing to spend $155 or $200. I ask that you consider that in your judgment, and I see on your agenda tonight you got the item on there, reduced yard meter rates, and all I ask is that you consider it and keep it equitable so we can continue to use our sprinkler systems, because if you price us out of the GIP business, we'll just shut the sprinkler systems off. And, you know, we spend a lot of money putting those sprinkler systems in. To have one installed costs about $4,000 to $5,000. And we did it because here in Smyrna, we like nice things. We like nice, fancy brick sidewalks. We like nice, fancy, and I'm all for it, you know. I'm just trying to do my part, and all I'm asking for you is a little help from you guys, you know. Don't make me pay $155 or $200 a month to water my lawn, because I won't do it, you know. So we like to keep our houses looking nice and presentable. But if the rates get too high, we just can't do it. Nobody's going to spend that kind of money. I don't care how much money you make. You're not going to spend $200 a month to water your lawn. Now, there are a lot of communities in the area that are tied to other water systems that people can't afford to water their lawns, but what they do, they put their own wells in. Now, according to Mr. Hugg, we don't have that option. So all I'm asking for is your consideration. Keep it low enough. I made a proposal, and they pretty much accepted it. Mr. Hugg and Mr. DeFeo accepted my proposal. I said, "Oh, cap it at $4 a thousand, you know, up to $30,000, and then if you want to go above $30,000, because it takes 20,000 to 30,000 gallons to run a sprinkler system, and that's the thing that I think the utility committee wasn't aware of when they adjusted these rates upwards." Because what you did, you raised them 200%, you know, initially. So I can live with a $4 cost because, you know, it's going to cost me $80 a month to water my lawn if I use 20,000 gallons. But I certainly can't live with a $6 or $7 cost. That's That's totally unfair. So I want to first thank Mr. Hugg and the Utility Committee for considering my request and making the first rollback retroactive. But we love rollbacks. I'm like Walmart, you know, roll them back, right? So thank you for your time, and please consider my request.
The one core question I failed to ask you the other night was, how big is your property? Do you have any idea?
90 by 150.
How much was your credit, Mr. Gaynor?
My credit was about $68. So that
some dollars.
Yeah. As I said,
from 55.
You know, we're willing to spend $65, $75 a month to keep the lawn watered. I'm not willing to spend $155 or $200 a month to keep the lawn watered. You know.
Such a choice.
Okay, would anyone else like to address council?
Good evening.
Welcome.
Don. 3 minutes?
Welcome.
Don Nizer, 519 Maryland Road, Smyrna. And my counterpart, Joe Gaynor, he's not going to get away with that. He can afford $4. I have brown grass. My wife cannot afford $4. She has told me, no, you fight it. Thank you to the committee, utility committee. We met with them the other day, and they were gracious. We upset their whole meeting. They took the time. They really helped us out. My question is, or my suggestions are, I think on the utility area, as far as water goes, we've got a long ways to go as far as really picking this thing apart. This is big-time stuff. Think about the family that has 4 or 5 kids, tries to water their lawn, keep their place right, keep everything going, baths, showers. It's a lot of water. And when we start talking about rates, don't think of me. It's only me and my wife. You know, we'll die tomorrow. But think of those young people and those young families. That's where the cost is. Hey, I can afford $275. Okay, baby? I can afford $275. But I think, in all seriousness, I think that you really have got to take a look at this water situation, not only for the resident and for the lawns, okay? I can live with a brown lawn. I don't care. How about the commercial people? We all need business. You need business, you need the citizens also. However, the businesses have to share some of the cost too. If we got to go up, it may have to go up a little too. Think about it. A laundromat, how much water does a laundromat use? How about maybe a car wash? A lot of car washes, they recycle their water. But you take laundromats, you take businesses, you take dishwashers in restaurants, it's all water. Are they rated similarly or on the same basis or an equal basis as the resident? And if they are, fine. But is somebody looking at that? Fine. We don't even know in Smyrna, excuse me, how much it costs Smyrna to prorate to its constituents, residents or commercial. We don't know that factor. And they tell me that's quite an operation trying to get that factor from Denerick and everybody. But that's something we should look at. All I'm saying is water is important to us. Fine. But it's got to be prorated fairly, and I don't think it is. It might be, and I could be dead wrong. But talking with the utility committee, I think they had as many questions. And it's a new committee, so they wouldn't know. But I think they have as many questions as I have. And all, I thank you for the time. I didn't get any ding. I made it. And I know I went over 3 minutes. Thank you.
This is Mr. Nizer. Mr. Nizer served on our Board of Adjustments for many, many years. He was the chairman. Planning and Zoning. And did a fabulous job. We really miss you. It's good to see you. The only thing that I can say about the water rates is I've been working on a project of my own, going through the budget, what was proposed, and what we actually used. And in the utility line, the one that we came out in the red was the water department. Now, this was before the utility committee adjusted the rates, and I wasn't, you know, we have these committees to help us. They're the ones that do the work, and I wasn't sure of how the figure was reached. And as you said, some of the things are a little bit hard to get. It's not as easy as a lot of people think. You just don't open a book and the answer is there. So, but the water, one of the reasons the rates were taken up was because the water utility was in the red. And that's all I can say about it.
We're going to have a little conversation about this later on there in the night because, as Mr. Neisser said, the question was asked, what does it cost right now to get it from the well to the tap? And we don't know. That's been an email that I received from Councilman Novotny. He asked me the same thing. And to be honest with the folks, we really don't know. We have the luxury right now of having a member of the utility committee who's kind of in that business, who volunteered his time to help us perform this study free of charge. And if you think you like rollbacks, I like free of charge even more. So we're looking for him to have a little bit of time and develop these numbers along with staff. So we just don't make a stab in the dark and throw a dart against the wall and say these rates sound good or those rates sound good. But without getting into that discussion, I just wanted you to know that this is something that's number one on my agenda for the job.
And I think that's a thing that I'm a thought to because I vote, but I think I'd like to caution council because I've seen it done several times since I've been here 3.5 years, that we know something's wrong and we think we have a fix and we vote on it only to find out that what we thought was right was wrong. So I think maybe as much as we need to fix a lot of things, maybe we need to slow down a little bit and look into it a little bit further. I think it was the year before I was elected, the tax rate was taken up, and they based it on so many cents per $100. Nobody sat down and figured out what that total amount was going to be and how much that percentage was going to be. And when the tax bills went out, everybody was pretty shocked, including council back at that time. So, we have a responsibility, too, that we need to know why we're doing what we're doing. That sounds like you're looking into that.
Yes.
Did you want to address council?
I would like to, yes.
My name is Thomas Herman, 537 Orangebrook Drive, Smyrna here. And I guess just listening to what's going on around here, I'm hearing somebody like to pay $2.75, somebody like to pay $4. Personally, what I'd like to know, and you touched on a little bit of this, is you were in the red before. But if I go back to last year, and I'm just using round numbers, okay, $2.75 per 1,000 gallons. And this time it's like $7, roughly. I'm not going to say exactly, but close to 300%. We're saying we're in the red. I think we all know an explanation about why this happened. I think you had someone come out in the paper in December about an increase, but it wasn't an increase like we received in the mail. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I didn't even know this was going to take place until I got my bill. And I said, wow, what? This kind of money? What's this all about and why? And I still don't know why, other than the fact you're saying it's in the red, why this has happened.
That's
why.
And
I say you're going to look into it, but I think this should have happened before, not now. And this is, of course, this is there kind of after the fact. But I guess what I would like to know personally is why such a huge increase. There may be a valid reason for that. I don't know that. And then you say, hey, this is what's happened versus last year. Why did it happen? Why did it go up 300%? On top of that, is the same thing going to happen next year and the year after that? What is the cutoff? What's the responsibility? What do we do? Can anyone tell me that right now? If not, I think those are things we should probably find out.
On the water, Mr. Hogg, correct me if I'm wrong, but on the water, we don't make money. It's a pass through the water and the sewer. Is that correct, Mr. Hogg?
We actually do make a, I hate to use the word profit because profit's not really the right word, but we do make some money from the water.
The analysis that I've been doing, we didn't in 2000.
Let me finish the discussion. We basically, the sewer costs are a pass through because we use those monies to pay Kent County for sewer service. The and one of the questions that the utility committee is going to go back and look, this question of what does it really cost, is kind of a function of what do you include in the analysis of cost. If you simply take the cost of operating the water department, which is employees and equipment and whatever, we make a profit. But what we don't build into our rate, have not built into our rate structure in the same manner that, say, a Tidewater or Artesian does, is the capital replacement, what they would call depreciation, the kind of wear and tear on the system. And I suspect that it wouldn't take much of a back of an envelope, and I suspect Mr. Novotny and I could come up with a number in about 10 minutes that would show that we don't make money on water if you build in those other costs. And that's really kind of where the utility committee is going. To answer this gentleman's question and really comment on whoever it was a few minutes ago, I think it may have been Mr. Gaynor. When we did the rate analysis last year, I can tell you that I used 10,000 gallons as what I thought was the
average
reasonable use for irrigation, for non-domestic consumption. So when Mr. Ebert over there told me that he would use 31,000 gallons last month or something, too much, 32. I was like, you got to be kidding me, because I just that didn't compute. And so obviously, you do the simple math 32 times, so yeah, it gets to be a pretty big number pretty quickly. So we were clearly surprised by, I think, the magnitude of the actual consumption, and that's something that we need to get a better handle on. The reason that we did the rate increase, and we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but we and most municipal water companies are under increasing guidance, I guess is a good word, from DENREC and the Delaware River Basin Commission to demonstrate to them that we have engaged in water conservation activities, including setting our rates in a way that discourage people from using excessive amounts of water. And we are in the middle of an allocation application. We've been in it for some number of years now, actually, with the Delaware River Basin Commission, one condition of which is that we have to show that we have taken efforts to conserve water, and Smyrna's per capita consumption of water is about the highest in Delaware. So we're either very clean or we drink a lot of water or something, but we are very high. So the effort back in December was largely driven by kind of changing our rate structure. We used to encourage consumption to one that discouraged consumption. It made it more expensive the more water you use, as opposed to less expensive the more water you used. So that's kind of why the change was made. The real surprise was on the...
But should that really been a surprise? I mean, you've got people here. You probably look at your usage rate and what you can expect to use from a yard meter versus...
I certainly didn't expect 30,000 gallons, but you got to remember the month that we're talking about was probably the hottest continuous month. Our electric consumption, Pat, what was the... How much was the electric consumption up?
It was an all-time record in July. We used in June 16% more than the average. And July will be even higher.
Yeah. So the same analogy would hold for water, that it was a long, hot, dry month. And, I mean, I'll admit right up, I never expected Conrad to come and say I used 32,000 gallons of water. It's almost inconceivable to me to think about 1,000 gallons a day for irrigation. Now, I can understand that that's maybe the case, and clearly that, I think, prompted our discussion the other night to maybe the rate structure wasn't.
I try to make it short so I can get out of here. I used exactly the same amount that I used last year and a year before that, okay? So it would help me to say, where are we going? I mean, you're saying they got to have conservation. What is conservation? Yeah. I don't know if that means going from 30,000 down to 10,000 or down to 2. So, I can plan, too. You have to plan for your council, right? You got to plan for the town. I think all of us here have to plan for our own personal lives. our homes and everything. And if the thing is, you got to conserve water, and we can't use irrigation systems.
Excuse me.
I think we should know that.
Speaking.
Bye.
Not for you, sir. You were speaking. I was.
Okay. Who wants to talk when I'm talking? Tell me that.
Taken care of.
Okay. Now, that's what I want to know. If the town of Smyrna is telling me that I should not irrigate my lawn, tell me that. If it says I'm going to have to pay $500 a month to do that, but 2 years from now, I need to know that too. I mean, I need to do long-term planning also. And where I come from, I do planning about what we need to do and when we need to do it. And this is kind of what I'm looking for my town, okay? Now, maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe I'm not being clear enough. If I'm not, tell me. Otherwise, thank you.
Are you interested in serving on the committee?
No. I mean, I'm looking at this came about, right? I guess I wouldn't have been half as upset if I'd known about it in advance. And did somebody get a memo from the Smyrna Times and tell me this? I get my bill. I know what I use. I'm looking at it. I said, here's what I'm using, right?
But, sir, the problem that we're faced with is this was in the newspaper. Well, you were notified then. Yeah, we got that coming up later on. All right, Mr. Conrad.
Conrad Hebert, 693 Lake Drive West. Mr. Hugg's talking about my water consumption. The man across the street, his bill was over $400. My next door neighbor was 241. I was 232. Am I right in saying that the residential rate was not changed?
Residential rate
stayed at 275.
No. The residential rates were changed, but the yard meter rate is an accelerated rate.
Okay.
The residential rate is an incremental rate that basically is, I think, $10 for the first so many thousand gallons, and then for each thousand gallons thereafter, there's an incremental increase. And then after a certain point, it's $6 or $7 or something. Yeah, 4, 5, 6. The yard meter rate was basically a block increase.
4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
The yard meter, if you pumped it through your house, like I said, I sent you the spreadsheet that I made. What I used in my home that month was about 8,000 gallons because I filled a pool. So it was $39. If I had a yard meter did the same thing, it was 43. So the yard meter rate ended up being more expensive than what the domestic rate was.
But there's about 4,000 meters here in town. There's only 328 yard meters. Mm-hmm. And for the yard meters to increase that much, city's trying to break even with the yard meter? No.
Well, the committee recognized that and rolled that back. So, I mean,
Conrad, you voted for it. Conrad, you voted for it last week.
I know.
You voted for it.
Hi, Denise Kircher, 563 Cindy Lane, Smyrna. And I know Mr. DeFeo thinks I'm going to get up and speak about the yard meters and all, but I'm really not, other than to say that I think it's a shame if the town of Smyrna, for whatever major change happens, relies on a newspaper and relies on everyone in the town to read the newspaper to be notified of that change. But that's just a general statement about that.
And I believe, wasn't it on the electric bills, too?
I got my bills for back in December, January, February.
This
I didn't see anything.
This discussion has come up so many times about how do we get the information out to the public. We have a website. It's been put on the website. We send things out on the electric bill. People say they don't see it.
Well, excuse me, but I got my bill out for last December, January, and February, and I didn't see anything on it. I'll have to look at it again.
Well, it's not on all the bills, but
But the change occurred and was voted in December, so why wasn't it in the January bill? I'll say what I said at the other meeting. That's not what I came up here to talk about. But, you know, when changes happen with Chesapeake Utilities, when changes happen with my credit cards, I get a note. I get something mailed to me with my bill that's very clearly telling me what is changing. I did not get that with this. But that's not even what I came up here to discuss. Because you front-load the speakers, the audience being able to speak – So when I came in, I noticed that there's going to be a discussion later for council on the increase in trash collection fee. I don't know what's going to be discussed. I have no knowledge of that. I will be honest. I don't go on the website, so if it's on the website, I don't read it. I have to read stuff enough at work that I don't tend to go on websites that much at home in my leisure time. But I know this came up a couple years ago. I know the discussion came up about do we have to have twice a week. I know that, and I know that other discussions probably came up about, well, we take a lot of our trash over to the recycling. So I don't know if those two discussions are going to come up, but I hope that those two, both recycling and not as frequent a trash collection, is part of the discussion that comes up later. But I think it's kind of difficult when we the public are here front load. We have to try to anticipate what to say that's going to go on in the meeting. So that's why I got up.
Ms. Kirshner, the trash collection, Dave, if I'm not mistaken, there was only one company that accepted the bid or that bid on it. And they require us to do twice a week. We don't have a choice with them, and they were the only ones at that time when we did the contract.
That's a shame.
Well, it's a 1 year.
The contract is up in December, and part of what will be happening in the balance of this year is, as most of you probably know, the governor signed a voluntary recycling bill, which basically means we're going to be in the recycling business early next year, which will significantly change the way we do trash collection. So you may still get twice a week, but one of them will probably be a recycle day and one of them will be a regular trash day. So we're in the midst of trying to figure out how to make that all work at a rate that we can get somebody to bid on, frankly.
Yep. One thing I think, Dave, the fees went up from $61 to $81, the tipping fee, so that's got to be passed through.
Yeah, and that's what we'll touch on them. They did. What we're passing through is the increase that DSWA has imposed on us beginning July 1 that we have to pay.
Mr. Jaywer, don't let me get in trouble. We need to make a decision here, Council. We really appreciate the people coming out, and we want to hear what you have to say, but we have a situation here tonight where we need to go into executive session, and there is money being spent for every minute that we don't do this, every hour that we don't do this. So, I would like to request that we move the executive session because of seeing how long this is taking tonight. We need to go into an executive session so we can do this and dismiss the person so we're not going into a large amount of money here. Do I have a motion from council?
I would suggest one or two things. I don't know how quickly you're going to get through the rest of the agenda after all this discussion.
I think we know everything.
One way is just to be, I was trying to sensitize possibly, kind of get some urgency and keep things moving. If you want to go into executive session at this time, I think given the fact that we've got a large audience here, that it's appropriate for the council to go down in the basement for the executive session. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how long we're going to be in it?
I wouldn't have a clue, ma'am.
I mean, I don't want to rush that. I don't want to rush that either because it's very important.
Why don't we move through these things? We've discussed most of them all evening long for an hour and a half.
Okay, we're going to keep going, but we've got to move along, folks.
I don't have any questions.
With that being in mind, was there anyone else that wanted to speak to council? Can you make it quick, please?
Ann Henning, 46 Raphael Road, Smyrna, Delaware, Sunnyside Village. I recently, before I moved here 7 years ago, I lived in Glasgow, and we had every other day watering, and it does solve a lot of problems. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 week. With Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, the other week. And, you know, weekends you could water your lawn. Keeps your rates down. It also conserves energy. Thank you very much.
You. Would anyone else like to address council? Seeing no one step forward, we will close the visitors portion of the meeting and we will go back to the regular council meeting with nine under new business. 9A, recommendation of the utility committee.
9A1 and 2 are essentially
two pieces of the same matter. One is the entering the new power purchase agreement with DMACC, a part of which is agreeing with the authorization to proceed with a second generating unit at Beasley. And I think we probably debated them at great length.
Can we do one and two together?
I would suggest we do one and two together.
Offer of a motion.
Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the contract resolution approving a project to be undertaken by the Delaware Municipal Electric Corporation, authorizing the execution of a power sales contract between the town of Smyrna and the Delaware Municipal Electric Corporation.
Madam Mayor, point of clarification on that motion. Mr. Rayner, is that flat out you want to approve it tonight, or do you want to make that motion conditional upon the other six members signing?
Oh, okay. And yes, make it conditional. Yeah, that was one of the things. And make that conditional upon the other six signatures.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Mayor Stombaugh.
Aye.
Councilman Rayner.
Aye.
Councilman Riddle.
Aye.
Councilman DeFeo.
Aye.
Councilwoman Brown.
Aye.
Councilwoman White.
No.
Councilman Novotny.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good.
And number three, increase in trash collection fees.
This is mostly for reporting purposes, and I'll do this quickly, Mr. Rayner indicated, the Delaware Solid Waste Authority passed new what are called tipping fees or disposal fees at the landfill, at their landfills, raising the cost of disposal from $65 a ton to $80 a ton, and adjusting the discount to municipalities from $10 a ton to $4 a ton. That cost took effect July 1 and is being passed on to municipalities in our trash bill. The utility committee agreed with the recommendation of staff to raise the monthly trash fee from $24.50 to $28, which essentially is the pass-through cost associated with the additional DSW disposal fees. Like I said, that is primarily a reporting topic, unless council instructs me otherwise. It's an administrative action to impose the new fee, which we would do effective with the bills that go out in August. We're not changing the portion of the costs that are reflecting any increase in the portion of the disposal trash collection fee that is related to pickup and you know, that kind of thing. It's only to pass through the disposal fee.
Is there a chance, Dave, that you can inform us so we don't get hit with all these phone calls and, you know, people? I know it's administrative, but if you could just let us know somehow, either email or something.
Okay, well, and like I said, this was discussed at the utility committee the other night. It will take effect with the bills that go out August 4th, 5th, whatever the date is. So it'll show up in people's utility bills in their August utility billing, which would... This month was $24.50, will be $28 in beginning in August.
Do we need to let the town know? For those people who don't read the website, for those people who don't read the paper, pardon me, folks, but do we need to have a way to let the town know?
Probably the most effective way is a bill message, which is a little,
we can put it on the bill message when the bill goes out. I don't recommend we send another mailing out between now and then.
That's very expensive to send 4,000.
I understand it. Put it in there, something that states why this is occurring. Good.
It doesn't require a vote unless you choose to,
unless
you don't want it to take effect.
It's administrative action, so it doesn't require a vote, but were you looking for a vote?
No, we're just reporting basically on what happened at the utility. Unless council said no, we're going to overrule the utility committee, then you can think about it. Okay.
We do have to move on, but I just have to make one statement. That 3.5 years of doing this, I mean, I'm asking the citizens to please work with us too. you have no idea how hard this job is. And, you know, we're trying to keep the cost down for the citizens. Believe me, we are. We are struggling so hard. The last 3 years, we have cut the budget and cut the budget. But there are some things that there just aren't any options on. If the town gets charged for it, then, we have to get the money from somewhere. I have people call me all the time, and I tell them, if you have a suggestion that you can give me where the town can come up with more money, please give me that suggestion. I haven't gotten one yet. So I just want to say to the citizens, please, please, think things through, and we need you to work with us, too. Number four, yard meter water rate.
I think we discussed that earlier.
Yeah, we've kind of discussed this earlier, but basically the utility committee asked that we roll back, to use the term, the yard meter rate to $4 effective with July 1. So people are either getting a credit or a refund, depending on how.
Your consumption.
And you've rolled it back to $4?
We've rolled it back to $4, which is a recommendation that came out of
from 7 to 4.
Up from
275.
It went up from 275.
It was 275 as in the last year.
Which actually puts it slightly below the domestic water level use at 10,000 gallons. So, I mean, it's actually a little bit contrary to what we were trying to do, but it works for the moment. So.
Does that require a council vote, Mr. Hugg, or is that administrative action?
Yeah, that's also administrative. Unless there's council disagreement.
B.
That was an item I had asked for. And what I'd like to do, based on all the discussion we had here this evening, is let the council know that the utility committee is taking this all back. We're going to work on this, make some recommendations. We have DENREC coming to speak to us beginning of August, if I remember correctly. They're going to come. We want to get some input from them. And as I said, we also want to find out what our cost of service is as well. So before we take any action, let us go back and get all this, and we'll come back to council with some information and some recommendations.
Okay.
Table this.
Great. Yes, table that, please.
I have one quick question.
Sure.
on your memo. You said meters bought belong to property owner, but the town will replace a defective meter at no cost. Was that both meters, the regular meter and the yard meter? Or?
These are all water meters,
all
right?
Meters.
All meters. All meters.
All meters, okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
The original purchaser pays the price for them, and then if we find it to be defective, we'll replace it.
Thank you.
Okay. 9C, library hours.
I brought that up, but I brought up C and D, but that's something that we can postpone until the next meeting.
Okay with me.
It's okay with me.
The table to the next meeting.
Okay. See.
And that's C and D. E, subcommittee to look into health care costs.
Okay, I would like to appoint a subcommittee for health care costs, and I'd like to appoint Regina Brown, Bob Novotny, and Bob Johnson.
We table that request.
Okay.
Can we get some more information before we appoint a subcommittee about what we're looking into for health care costs? I mean, we're going to have another committee on top of another committee that's going to look into health care costs. Bob, Regina, and Bob are all on lots of committees. But what are we looking for in health care costs? What's wrong with what we have and everybody's not happy?
We're $5 million underfunded.
That's the pension.
We're also $5 million underfunded in the health care.
Okay, well, the mayor appoints a committee or something.
Well, it's a subcommittee, and Terry, subcommittee doesn't even have to be voted on, does it? I mean, doesn't the chairman have a right to appoint a subcommittee?
I would think so. I mean, I think when the council appoints a committee, then the committee can create its own subcommittees.
Well, then
the council would have the authority to override that, but absent that, it's up to the committee chair and the committee.
Yeah, so you're just letting us know that you have appointed a subcommittee. Right. Okay. 9F, acceptance of a $30,000 check from Kent County Levy Court.
You have in your packet a letter from Brooks Banna, president of Kent County Levy Court. Let me give you just a quick little bit of background. The county imposes a library tax on residents of the county who live outside of municipalities that own and or operate a library. That's called reciprocal borrowing process. There's it's actually two parts. I'm getting really confused. They impose a tax on folks who live outside of in this case the town of Smyrna. Those funds are collected and they are distributed to the circulating libraries based on the actual borrowing history, the amount of books, the number of books that go in and out of those libraries in the course of the year. It's kind of a formula. Periodically, that reciprocal borrowing fund, the tax rate results in a surplus, and which is the case in this year. The county chose, there was about $150,000 surplus in the revenues generated, which the county proposed or decided to give to the five libraries that are now considered circulating libraries, which are Dover, Harrington, Milford, Smyrna, and the New Kent County Library, for specifically their capital improvement programs. And as you can see from Mr. Banna's letter, he, as along with the Levy Court commissioners, voted to provide funds for the library's capital facility needs, basically we need to accept those funds and determine how we propose to actually account for them, handle them. What I'm going to propose, and I've discussed with the governors of council, is that council pass a resolution, make a motion to have these $30,000 to accept them on behalf of the town and have them directed to the library capital fund, which is a fund we have that's separate from the operating budget and is set aside for capital needs. And so that's what I'm recommending that you do tonight.
Capital needs of the library.
Of the library, yes. It's the library capital fund is what it's.
I move that we accept the check and it be put aside in the library fund. It is not to be used for any other purposes within the town. And that's it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
When you say library fund, what do you mean by that? The capital fund?
Library capital fund. Capital fund.
Right. Okay. So you're adding capital, that was your motion. Right. Who was the second?
Yeah. No, that states in the letter.
Right.
That's what it says.
It says
capital. I seconded the motion.
I was just shortening it.
Okay. No further discussion. Roll call.
Councilman Rayner.
Aye.
Councilman Riddle.
Aye.
Councilman DeFeo.
Aye.
Councilwoman Crown.
Aye.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Councilman Novotny.
Aye.
Mayor Stombo.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Is there a motion to go into executive discussion?
So moved.
Discuss pending litigation.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Hi, Jim.
Hi. Great to see you.
Hi, Jim.
Tom Trump. I just wanted to get that bottle out.
I did too.
927. There's
dependable
stuff. Okay. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we instruct Attorney Williams to proceed as discussed in the executive session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Then.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Is there any other council business?
I have one thing. What? Nothing to bring it up. I took minutes again tonight.
Good job.
Good for you.
We need to, that's a housekeeping thing we need to take care of. I'm not sure, we either Mr. Hug or I or somebody, but we, you know, it's a requirement of Foy to keep minutes in executive sessions. And I just want to make sure that it always gets done. Tonight, I happen to remember it, and I've taken minutes, but we just can't let that happen again. When we can never let it happen when we don't take minutes, because that's we're going to get stuck on that one.
Okay. And we just have like a portable tape recorder rather than someone writing? Would that suffice?
Well, we could. I personally have always advised, I don't know what David is used to saying, but I've always advised against keeping tape recordings of the executive session, because once you tape it under there's a statute and rules, you have to maintain the tape recording for 6 months. And
okay. All right. Just ask it.
Why do we excuse our secretary in executive sessions? Because that's what the secretary means. She keeps secrets, or he, or...
I think that's why Terry's bringing the subject up. We've historically or traditionally...
We can have her in the meeting. I'm the secretary at work, and I attend, you know, we attend executive sessions if we're required.
Yeah, take care of the problem with the...
It's just more work.
Yeah, she just, for whatever reason, years ago, the practice was not to have a recording secretary in the room. So, I mean, that's something that...
Unless Terry objects, I really have been very pleased. I think you are very fair. I was surprised, I guess, the first time, because I didn't expect you to be so fair in the minutes. And I really think that you did the minutes and you told it the way it was. And I was very pleased.
So you get to do them forever again.
Okay, is there any other council business?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion
That
we keep our recording secretary in executive sessions so that she can record the minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Another job, Valerie. Another job.
She's got to be here anyhow, so.
Motion to adjourn, Regina.
Talk to me more often.
Motion to adjourn.
Who motioned?
I made a motion.
Business.
Okay, second.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay.
Done already?
Terry, Valerie's waiting for you outside.
Yeah. Good night.
Hi.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thanks a lot.